No one is so poor that they cannot give, and no one is so rich that they cannot receive. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Amen. So this Sunday, this Passion Sunday, foreshadows the events that will really begin in earnest next week with Palm Sunday, the week the betrayal and trial and death of Jesus. But this Sunday sets that stage in a very special way. And it gives us a chance to think more about just that, is death and sacrifice, apart from and before we walk at all again with him. It's a sort of anticipation, a reflection of things to come. But in this morning's gospel, those reflections are seen through the eyes of Mary, Martha's sister, and Judas Iscariot. John's gospel tells us that Jesus is in Bethany, which means house of the poor, a clue perhaps to his final comment about the poor you have always, but me you will not have always. He is in a house perhaps dedicated to serving and caring for the poor. This particular home is the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sisters. And the dinner is given in Jesus' honor, not in Lazarus' honor. There are some commentaries that make that mistake, and it's easy to read that because of all of the hymns at the beginning. It is Jesus that is being honored at this meal, which foreshadows, of course, a meal about a week away, the last that he will celebrate with his disciples. And it's more poignant because this meal is the last one Jesus will have publicly. Because already the authorities have begun the plot to kill him. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the plot to kill Jesus begins with the triumphal entry, which we celebrate on Palm Sunday. In John's gospel, it begins with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Because now, Jesus is not just a teacher. He is not just a healer. He is no longer just a radical prophet. Now, in the eyes of the Jewish authorities, he has acted like God to restore the dead to life. And he must be stopped at any cost. So the plot to kill him has begun. And Mary knows this. She's intuited that Jesus' days are numbered, even as he has given her brother back to them, even as he has given Lazarus new life. Nard is derived from the plant spikenard, which is a rare embryo plant, a flowering plant related to honeysuckle that grows in the Himalayas of Nepal and China and India. And at some point in antiquity, it was discovered that if the roots of this plant are crushed and distilled, they make this beautifully brown oil, a very fragrant oil that takes lots of roots to produce. And it is very costly, especially as we learned this morning, pure nard, 100% nard. It would have been in Jesus' time where the amount of that she brings, that Mary brings, the pound, is 1 year's of wages. That's how expensive it was. No wonder, then, that all that Judas could think of was money, you see, when he saw it, and how much he could have made with that nard. But the room is filled with its aroma. It's pungy, earthy, musky kind of smell, unmistakable, beautiful in its own way. Everyone would have sensed that it is, I guess, an oil used for healing, its medicinal use, its common use. But they also would have heard a little sense and smell, a little bit of death in it, the oil that would be used for anointing. That's what Jesus and Mary smell. The essence of preparation, of cleansing a body, of anointing it for burial. Stephen Verney in Water into Wine writes these words: Mary brought a pound of ointment which was costly and pure. The Greek word literally means faithful, costly and faithful. And she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped them with her hair. In contrast to her faith and her outpouring of gratitude, Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, was about to, or was he destined to, hand Jesus over to the authorities. And so he protested at the waste of money. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She has bought it for the day of my entombment." Jesus commanded then to let Mary pour out her grief and her love over his soon-to-be-dead body. The language of this passage is mysterious, and the scribes who copied the manuscript of John's Gospel have changed words here and there to try to make more sense of them. Already this is the day of his burial, because already he has devoted himself to death and has entered into his own tomb to raise Lazarus from death. From one point of view, Jesus is sitting beside Lazarus at supper, and from another point of view, he is lying beside him in the tomb. What is really happening? So Mary is for us the true disciple. Her love for Jesus is extravagant. She senses that he faces a tragic future. So she offers him comfort and assurance in this life and something more for his life to come. The ointment, the nard, she gives ahead of the revelation that Easter morning Judas is for us the false disciple. Corrupted by money and greed, all he can think about is how valuable that nard is. Not so much for the poor, they might have gotten some value for it, but because his thumb was on the scale, looking out for himself first, and if any is left over for others. His life has trapped him. He cannot see beyond this supper, this moment. His self-preservation, his fear, will lead to tragic betrayal. A week from today is Palm Sunday. We will enter into worship as the crowds did in Jerusalem with shouts of Hosanna and Hail to our King. And we will enter into Jerusalem again with Jesus our Lord. We will enter into the contemplation of those mighty acts by which God has given us life and immortality. We will walk again the path that he walked as he gave his life a ransom for many. But today, that ransom, that price paid beyond all money and wealth, a price paid for us of limitless value, that price is poured out like the ointment and oil on Jesus' which now doesn't seem like so much of a cost in return for what has been gained. Our lives, our problems, our challenges, our sadnesses, the needs and wants and the troubles of the world, the poor, the homeless, the forgotten, those in war-torn countries, all of that we do indeed have before us always. And Jesus knew that to be true. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, however, we have the means of grace and the hope of glory, the knowledge of faith, the promise of eternal life, all that we need to bring about the kingdom of God on earth. Mary knew that somehow. Death